Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Political Hitman.
I'm Howie Silver. This is Political Hitman here on Israel News Talk Radio. Do not call in this show. We are not live. This is a pre-recorded show. Unfortunately, I had a personal issue I had to deal with, and I couldn't be on live. So we pre-recorded the show. I am happy to be here with you. And this show is going to be exciting. I am very excited about this show. More excited than you could possibly imagine. Have you ever walked into a room and everybody in the room turned around and looked at you? And looked at you in a way that made you really uncomfortable? Has that ever happened to you? It happens to me a lot. I wear kippah everywhere I go. I wear my yarmulke everywhere I go. Because I'm Jewish and I'm proud to be Jewish. And I don't care where I am. I don't hide the fact that I'm Jewish. Many people do. I don't. And so I've walked into situations where people look at me and say, well, what's with this guy? What's with that thing on his head? I want to share some of those situations with you this show. I want to tell you about how I handled some of those situations and how some of those situations came about and how it affects me when Jew hatred is prominent and rampant around the world. It really does affect me. It affects me on a personal level. It affects me on a political level. It affects me a lot. So I want to talk to you about that and a whole lot more right here on Political Hitman, here on Israel News Talk Radio. The show is normally live. We are not live this episode. We'll be back live probably next episode. And I'm looking forward to being live and taking your calls next episode. We air here on Israel News Talk Radio. It's a miracle that this station exists. It's a miracle that the country exists. And it's a miracle that Jews exist in general. I remember not long ago, I had a customer come into my shop and he sat down with me and we started discussing the job that the customer wanted me to do. And I was explaining the technical considerations that had to be going into doing this kind of work. And the customer noticed my kippah on my head. And you saw a physical change in the customer's face. Before that, they were all friendly and they were polite and they were trying to get the best price for the job. And after that, you saw that physical, visceral change in their face. That's what I'm talking about when I say Jew haters and when I say that the situation just changes when Jew haters sees a kippah or a visible sign of Judaism. And I want to talk to you about that because it bothers me because it happens all the time. And sometimes we just ignore it, and sometimes we pay attention to it. That's coming up on this show. I'm Howie Silberger. This is Political Hitman on Israel News Talk Radio.
Always challenging the status quo. Hello, I'm Rod Bryant on Beyond the Matrix here at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. I want to encourage you to listen each week, every Wednesday at the same time, for an amazing show that will challenge you, inform you, and inspire. News, views, and wisdom for the nations here on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. Don't forget, Beyond the Matrix every week, Wednesday, here on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com.
Political Hitman.
This is Political Hitman on Israel News Talk Radio. My name is Hal Silberger. Welcome to the program. The program is not live, so please do not call in. We will be back live probably next week. This week we are not live, so please do not call in. Have you ever been in a situation where you walk into a conversation, you walk into a situation totally honest and totally with the best intentions. And the people you meet, you shake their hands, you start off in a gentle conversation about what the task you have to do together is. And suddenly they notice that you are Jewish. They notice the kippah on your head. They notice the shadel. They notice the wig. They notice the Star of David around your neck. Suddenly they notice you're Jewish. And the atmosphere changes. Have you ever been in that situation? I know I have. And I know that being in that situation is not very comfortable. I had a customer once who came in and sat with me, and we started discussing the various things that had to be done for the task that needed to be completed. And when I got somewhere near the middle, the customer noticed the kippah on my head. And you saw the physical change in the customer's face. Suddenly, from a very friendly and nice atmosphere, suddenly the customer's face turned angry. And the customer couldn't stop looking at my keepa. All the customer did, all he did was stare at my keepa while we were talking. I knew right then and there I wasn't getting the job. That was quite obvious. Although we continued talking about the specs of the job and how the job was going to be done and deadlines and everything else, I knew right there and then that the job was not going to come to me. I knew right there and then that the person sitting across the table from me, who saw my keepa on my head, who saw my yarmulke, who saw my skull cap, did not like it and was not going to do business with me because they did not like it. How do you handle a situation like that? What do you do? What do you say? Do you say anything? I said nothing. At the time, I just kind of let it go. I said nothing. I didn't want to jeopardize the job in case, for some miraculous reason, the guy decided to give me the job. I didn't want to jeopardize the fact that he was going to give me a job. But at the same time, it's kind of hurtful. Because here you are being judged by an item of clothing, being judged by your belief system. The person didn't know me personally at all. But the person was judging me based on the fact that I believed in God, that I believed in Torah, and that I believed that following the Torah was the proper path to go. The person judged me based on stereotypes that the person may have heard about Jews. The person judged me based on stereotypes the person may have heard of Israel. And this is really where the issue lies. And it's where the problem lies, is that many non-Jews don't understand Judaism at all. Many non-Jews don't understand that the state of Israel, as Jewish as the state of Israel is, and as the state of Israel calls itself a Jewish state, doesn't necessarily represent all Jews, does it? I'm not so sure that it does. It doesn't represent all Jews, and the policies of the state of Israel, the policies that the state of Israel carries out, although may be supported by a lot of Jews around the world, may not possibly be representative of the ideas or the morality of all Jews around the world. And to make the generalization that all Jews support Israel and that Israel is 100% right all the time, it's not, and that because you're Jewish, I could base my judgment on you based on what I think of Israel, what I think of politics, or what I've heard, or some kind of blood libel that I heard years ago. It's insulting. It really is. Ryan Belarus worked for B'nai B'rith. He is a Métis Indian. He is a Métis Indian from Canada. And he wrote this on Facebook, and I thought it was a wonderful way to describe Hanukkah. We just came through the week of Hanukkah, the 8 days of Hanukkah, and many Jews can't explain Hanukkah properly. I've heard many Jews explain Hanukkah as the Jewish Christmas, but it's really not the Jewish Christmas. And many Jews can't take an objective look at Hanukkah and understand how important Hanukkah is to Judaism. They call it a minor holiday, but it's really not a minor holiday. I would tend to say that Hanukkah is one of the most important holidays we celebrate. But Ryan Belarus, who worked for B'nai B'rith and now does not, he's not a Jewish activist, he's a Métis Indian activist. He supports the Jewish people, he supports the state of Israel, and he is one of the leading proponents of defending Israel and calling the Jews the indigenous people of the Jewish state. Jews hesitate to say that. Ryan doesn't hesitate to say it at all. And Ryan wrote a nice piece on Facebook on December 4th. He wrote a nice piece called Why Hanukkah is Important to Non-Jews. And I think I want to share it with you because I think that Ryan's views on Jews are very important. Here's a non-Jewish guy who studied Judaism, who understands Judaism to a certain extent, and who tries to explain Hanukkah from looking from the outside in. And it's an interesting perspective because as a Jew, we never do this. We never go on the outside and we never look in and we never self-evaluate what our holidays are all about. And here is an evaluation of what Hanukkah is all about in the eyes of a non-Jewish guy who supports Jews and supports Israel. This is what he wrote. Jews are a weird and mysterious people. They do things we non-Jews don't understand. They eat strange and mysterious foods. They pray a lot more than we do. They use their hands when they talk. They talk a lot. They read a lot of books, and you rarely go to a Jew's home and not see a ton of books. We really don't understand their rules, partly because they don't make sense to non-Jews, and partly because some of them don't even make sense to Jews. We know they read the Bible, but we aren't even sure what the difference between their Bible and the one Christians read. We don't sit and ask them questions because that would be rude. Instead, we watch YouTube, and when we do meet Jews, it's usually at least Jewy Jews because they aren't threatening or mysterious. The Jews, most of us know, are usually pretty much assimilated. So when they do something Jewy, it surprises us and makes us uncomfortable. Jews don't spread Judaism through preaching, so most of us have no idea what Jews actually believe. Other than they don't believe in Jesus, and they believe Moses talked to a burning bush and got some tablets, and Abraham started cutting wieners. Actually, someone who knows that pretty much is an expert on Judaism. This is why a holiday like Hanukkah is so damn important. It's a celebration of a liberation movement. It's a reminder that assimilation is not the goal, and that being who you are is important. Plus, it has latkes and donuts, and everyone likes fried food, and that's not weird. Hash browns and donuts are universally loved. Every Indian in the world loves fry bread and fried potatoes. When you learn about Hanukkah, you see that they are not very different from us. You also learn that Hanukkah isn't Jewish Christmas. In fact, it's antithesis of Christmas. It's a celebration of a bunch of stubborn Jews telling the Hellenists to piss off. The Hellenists were Jews who wanted to quit being Jewish. The coolest part of getting to know Jews is that you have actual Jewish friends you could suddenly learn that just because they wave their hands and raise their voices when they talk doesn't mean they are angry. You see how non-threatening Judaism really is, how it encourages charity and critical thinking. You learn quickly that Jews are way less scary than you thought, that most of them are actually really kind, and besides, most of them are way too short to be scary, except for Jewish moms who have magical guilt powers. So ask a friend about Hanukkah, spin a dreidel, eat some chocolate gelt, eat a sufganiyot or latke, and remember that the next time some moron writes a post about Zionists controlling the world, maybe you might tell them why that's so damn stupid. That was written by Ryan Belarus. He is a Métis Indian who studied Judaism, fell in love with Judaism, and defends Israel on a regular basis on Facebook. He might be a guy you want to add on Facebook, Ryan Belarus. And he used to work for B'nai B'rith, but he found that they weren't pro-Israel enough. So he left the job at B'nai B'rith, and now he pretty much is an Israel advocate on his own. And he decided to write this on his own. Nobody prompted him. He saw a article written that was posted by one of his friends that talked about the Zionists controlling the world. And he felt it was ridiculous and felt that he had to respond to it. And this was his response. I wish Jews would look at Judaism this way. It is amazing to me that non-Jews, Christians, Indians, non-Jews, could look at Judaism and see the wonderful nature of Judaism. They could see how peaceful Judaism is, how Judaism and the beauty of Judaism. And Jews looking at Judaism don't see that. Diaspora Jews in North America don't see the beauty of Judaism. Ask a standard question to a secular Jew. Tell me about Shabbat. Tell me about the Sabbath. And the secular Jew will only tell you, oh, on Sabbath, that's crazy. You can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do this, and you can't do that. You'll never hear a secular Jew talk about the beauty of Sabbath, the beauty of being able to turn off your technology, the beauty of being able to sit back and spend time with the family, the beauty of taking 24 hours to serve God and to look at yourself, self-reflection, looking at yourself, understanding your connection with the world, your connection with the universe, your connection with your Lord. Secular Jews don't understand that. Now, a Christian looking in understands it. A Métis Indian looking in understands it. And it's interesting that the Jewish community has failed, absolutely failed, in teaching Jews the beauty of Judaism. And it's kind of scary when you think about it. Hundreds of millions of dollars spent on Jewish education in Jewish day schools across North America and Europe. Millions and millions and millions of kids going through these kind of educational institutions. And then you ask them a simple question like, explain Sabbath. What is the beauty of Sabbath? And they can't answer you. And half of them have never experienced a true Sabbath experience. We'll get to that when we come back from the short break, because I think it's important that we look at some examples. I will give you examples of what I'm talking about. And I think we should look at these examples and try to learn from them. Because everything is a learning experience. In my estimation, in my opinion, in the way I look at life, everything's a learning experience. And I try to learn something new every day. So let's take a look at that when we come back from this break. And we will try to understand the mentality of the diaspora Jew. There's a miracle of Israel that exists, but the diaspora Jew stays in America. We'll find out why. I'm Howie Silberger. This is Political Hitman. We are not live, so don't call in. We'll be back live again next week. We'll be right back.
Shalom, everybody. Making a difference often takes just one moment and one person at a time. I am Orly Benny Davis, your show host on Israel News Talk Radios from Jerusalem with love. You'll be hearing people talking about politics, religion, social issues, and making a better tomorrow. Join me, Orly Benny Davis, for God and Country from Jerusalem with love.
Wednesdays on Israel News Talk Radio.
Political Hitman.
I'm Howie Silberger, this is Political Hitman, here on Israel News Talk Radio. We are not live, so do not call in. The show is pre-recorded. We will be live again next week, God willing. But this show is pre-recorded, so please do not call in. We're talking about Jewish identity and how Jews look at Judaism compared to how non-Jews look at Judaism. In the last segment, I shared a Facebook posting written by Ryan Belarus, where he explained Hanukkah better than any explanation I've ever heard of Hanukkah before. Any Jewish explanation of Hanukkah, not talking about religious explanation, but secular Jews explaining Hanukkah to me, didn't even come close, didn't even shine a candle in comparison to Ryan Belarus's explanation of Hanukkah. And that kind of got me thinking. I remember years ago, I used to be a youth director in one of the local synagogues. And the children who used to show up to my youth program, we had a gathering on Friday night, a Shabbat night gathering. And the children used to come, and we used to share stories and have discussions and sing some songs and eat some good food. And this was the Friday night ritual. And one Friday night, I decided that let's have an intellectual discussion about God. Now, I don't think that Jews talk about God enough. We pray to God, and God is central to our existence, and we say we're afraid of God, and we say that we follow the Torah because God gave us the Torah. And God is central in Judaism, but I don't think Jews talk critically about God enough. I don't think we look at the concept of God, and I don't think we explain the concept of God enough to our children for us to be able to have a great conversation with a bunch of kids about God. So these kids came in, there were about 15 kids in the room, and most of them, I would say a good 90% of them, went to a Jewish parochial school, and the rest of them went to public school. And I started with the question, and the Jewish parochial school they went to, majority of the kids that went were there, by the way, was a Orthodox Jewish parochial school. So this was a school that followed the Orthodox tradition of Judaism. And the rest of the kids went to a secular public school, a regular public school mixed between Jews and non-Jews, a regular public school. And I asked the kids in the room, I said, what is God? Define God for me. I want to know what your definition of God is, because I know what my definition is. I want to know what your definition is. And I went from kid to kid. Most kids that went to the Jewish parochial school just kind of said, no, I'm not interested in talking about this. Let's move on. Go to somebody else. And I went from kid to kid. And there were, like I said, there were 15, 20 kids in the room. And I couldn't get an answer from any of the kids in the Jewish parochial school. Now, I don't think they knew how to define God. I don't think they knew what to say. They were sitting there looking at me. These kids in grade 9, 10, and 11. They were sitting there looking at me. And they were confused by the question. Then I got to one of the kids who went to a public school. And I said to the public school boy, I said, define God for me. And he thought about it for 30 seconds. There was a delay between my question and his answer. And then the boy looked at me and said, God is the being that controls everything I do. I looked at him, I said, what do you mean? I want to understand what you're saying. What do you mean? So he said, God gave us rules. To give us rules. He gave us the Torah. And the Torah has rules. The Jewish Bible has rules. And he gave us the Jewish Bible to follow the rules. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the Jewish Bible. That's not what I'm talking about. When I look at the way I live my life, when I look at the way I function in the world, I realize that it's not by choice. I don't function this way by choice. I function this way because there is a greater force causing me to function this way. There is a force that says that I must behave in a certain direction. I must look at things in a certain way. I must evaluate stuff in a certain way. And that force, to me, is God. I don't particularly believe, he said to me, in the creation story. I don't particularly believe in the Bible or that there were miracles and God gave the Torah. That doesn't really affect me. I don't really believe in all that. But what I do believe, he said, is that there's an order to the world, and that order is dictated by a higher being. And not a higher being, call it God, call it a higher being, call it a magnum force, call it whatever you want. But that higher being is what controls the way I do things, the way I act, and the way I live. To me, that is God. I personally thought it was a great answer. I praised the kid for giving such a great answer. And I moved on. And I said, how does God affect... I asked the rest of the kids in the group, how does God affect the way you live your life? Do you ever do something and feel that you have betrayed the higher force, you have betrayed God? Do you ever feel that God is present in the way you live? And I started going through the parochial school kids again. And now, the public school kid had already answered this question. I was just rephrasing the question in a different way to try to get the parochial school kids to get involved in the conversation. Because I thought their perspective would have been interesting because they were growing up in a parochial school, in a religious parochial school. So I figured, and I didn't know for sure, but I assumed that a religious parochial school, a school that is pushing Orthodox Judaism, would have at least discussed the concept of God with their children over the course of 9-10 years of education. I figured at least the overall general concept of God would have been discussed. Maybe the kids wouldn't be able to get into specifics about God and why they support God. I mean, that would take a little bit of brain power to think about it, and putting them on the spot in a Friday night activity is probably not what they're used to when it comes to brain power and using their brain power to discuss different issues. But I figured that a general conversation about the existence of God and how God affects you in everyday life would have been a no-brainer for kids going to a parochial school. Unfortunately, I was wrong. The kids who went to parochial school couldn't answer any of the questions. And I rephrased the God question 3-4 times. I repackaged it and I rephrased it a bunch of times. I couldn't get a conversation going with the parochial school kids. In fact, they got so frustrated by my questions, they got up and left. And I started thinking, why would the public school kid have such a defined answer to what is God and who is God and how does God affect you on a daily basis? And the parochial school kids couldn't answer the question. And it bothered me that this was the case. And I started thinking about it. And then I realized what was going on. And it hit me. And it hit me overnight. I went to sleep, and sometimes you go to sleep and you're thinking about something, and suddenly it hit me overnight. And I realized what was going on. You see, I had gone to public school my whole life. I never went to a Jewish parochial school. I went to public school. And my perspective on Judaism is very different than the Jewish parochial school's perspective on Judaism. And being so different, the perspective is different because your experience is different. Your life experience is different. So I went to a public school, and my public school was filled with a bunch of of public school kids who weren't Jewish. I was the only kippah wearing Jew in the school, in the entire building. I was the only kippah wearing kid in the building. Not only did I wear kippahs, but I also wore the fringes, my tzitzis, the fringes that Jews wear. You must have seen them, the white strings that hang down. I wore them until the end of grade 9. Near the end of grade 9, the anti-Jewites that went to that school, and there were a bunch of them, attacked me at lunch one day. I was beaten up almost every day for being Jewish and for being so outwardly Jewish. They beat me up almost every day. Now, the anti-Jewites that continuously beat me up attacked me one lunch hour, and they lit my fringes on fire. They lit my tzitzis on fire. And it took me a couple of seconds to put them out, and that scared me. It scared me because had the fire taken off, had my shirt caught fire, my pants caught fire, had anything else caught fire, I surely would have been injured and sent to the hospital. Because I was able to put the fire out quickly, and there was no damage to my clothing, except for a little bit of fringes, there was no damage to my regular clothing. But it scared me, and I took my fringes off. And it was the first and only time in my life that I removed a symbol of Judaism because of fear. I made a vow. I was 14 years old at the time when this happened. And I made a vow at the time that I was never, ever, ever going to back away again. I was never going to be ashamed of my Judaism. I was never going to hide the fact that I was Jewish. I was never going to shy away from the fact that I was Jewish. And to hell with the Jew haters. They don't like it. Too bad for them. That's really their problem, not mine. And this was the attitude I had from 14 years old on. It's the attitude I hold today. I haven't changed my opinion on that. Unfortunately, at the time, I backed down. And I took off my fringes. I took off my tzitzis. I didn't tuck them into my pants because, you know, you're a kid, and as you're moving around, they tend to pop out. I didn't want them to see them because I didn't want to be lit on fire again. It's a rational decision I made at the time. I regret today, looking back 30 years ago, I regret it today. But at the time, it was a rational decision that I made. And now I criticize people who make the same decision, and I do so because I understand the mistake I made back then. And I understand, I'm looking at it from a different perspective. I understand the mistake I made back then, and I understand the ramifications of that mistake and how hiding my fringes caused me bigger problems than if I would have left them out and stood up to the bully. I had much more problems after that. They beat me up more often. I'm Howie Silberger, this is Political Hetman, here on Israel News Talk Radio.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
This is Shai Bentico, and each week I'll be webcasting to you from Judea, origin of the word Jew, a people besieged and beleaguered in every generation. Nazi Germany's but a memory, but in its place the world invented the phantom Palestinians as this generation's internationally authorized Jew killers. Tune in for a different slant on life in Israel, Phantom Nation, every Monday.
Hi, I'm Rabbi David Aaron. The soul basics are the most profound, the most essential, and yet often the most neglected in our education. Join me for Soul Talk on Israel's News Talk Radio and discover the secrets to love, spiritual growth, and personal power.
Political Hitman. Welcome back to Political Hitman here on Israel News Talk Radio. Joining me now is the chairman of the JDL Canada. His name is Mayor Weinstein. He is from Toronto. Hi, Mayor. Welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
There's been a lot of anti-Jewish attacks across North America lately, a couple here in Canada. Most disturbingly, the ones happening in Brooklyn in New York. Should Jews be scared, Mayor?
You know what? Jews are scared.
Yeah, I would say they are.
Jews are scared.
Reading attack after attack after attack of it after attack, it's hard not to be, isn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely. There's We're reading about it every single day in New York, in Florida, in California, in Pittsburgh, in Europe, in Argentina, everywhere.
What do you think is the cause of all the Jew hatred, sudden rise of Jew hatred? I know the lefties like to blame it on Donald Trump because everything's Donald Trump's fault. But what do you think is really the reason that Jew hatred is rearing its ugly head to the extent that it is right now? It's been quiet for a while, and now suddenly it's rearing its ugly head again. What do you think is the cause of this? Why is this happening?
I think the so-called progressive movement have cozied up with Hamas organizations and radical Islam, and they preach nothing but Jew hatred. They camouflage it that they are only criticizing the state of Israel, but they're actually calling for the destruction of the state of Israel, and they don't like any Jews who support Israel.
Moderates are suddenly becoming radicals. The guy from CNN there, Mark Lamont Hill, he was moderately left. I mean, he was never pro-Israel. He was never an Israel lover. But suddenly now he's calling for the genocide of Jewish people and destruction of Israel. What is causing these people?
And he's getting getting support from David Duke.
Yeah. There you go, right? But what is causing these people who used to be moderates to suddenly shift to radical left? I mean, like way past moderate and call for the genocide and destruction of the Jewish state. Why is this happening?
Well, maybe the problem was by assuming that they were moderate.
I never
viewed them like that. I viewed them that their end goal was that there should be no Israel, no Jewish state. And they're consistent, as far as I'm concerned, with what they want to achieve is no Jewish state.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that one. Yeah, I don't think any of them have really hid the fact that they don't support the Jewish state and that they want the Jewish state to... They preferred the Jewish state didn't exist, but not too many of them were calling for it.
They're even going further. They're even going further to lecture the Jewish community what the definition of anti-Semitism should be.
Yeah, you see, that's what really gets me. When somebody tells me that, you can't say that because Hitler considered everyone Jew. I don't care what Hitler considered. I don't care what my enemies think of me. I really don't consider what they consider me as Jewish. They're not going to define my religion for me. They're not going to define my politics for me. They're not going to define anything
exactly.
For me. So you know, when people make those arguments to me, I tend to get really pissed off because my enemy's not going to tell me who I am and what my religion is and what I believe. My enemy wants to kill me.
Exactly.
And I really don't give a damn what my enemy thinks of me. But
no question.
But you know, people take into account what the enemy says, and I hear it all the time. Especially the moderate left and the middle of the road left. They're always saying, "Oh, you can't say that because you know you're going to provoke the enemy." My enemy wants to kill me.
Well, the enemy is getting more bold, and a lot of that boldness also has to do with. An open borders policy where you have people that are coming from countries where they hate Israel. And it's a natural ally for them, people who embrace radical Islam. That's one of the things that are going on. So there's a jump in the numbers of support for that position, if you want to call it position, for that anti-Semitism, actually. What we have to do, I mean, we got a few choices. Number one, I mean... Strengthen Israel and support Israel as much as you can. And if you could move to Israel, get it done, strengthen the country there. The other thing, while you're here, we have to confront anti-Semitism, Jew hatred head on. And that means that these organizations that are either on the extreme left or on the extreme right, they have to be infiltrated. We need to know who the ticking time bombs are. And we have to deal with them. We also have to offer courses in the Jewish community on different means of self-defense, including legal firearms training, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's not something we want to do, but I think it's something that we necessarily have to do. I'm kind of leaning in that direction. I didn't always lean in that direction. I always felt that that Jews should have self-defense courses that every elementary school, straight through high school, children should be taught self-defense. Jewish children should be taught self-defense from kindergarten on.
Yep.
I can't imagine why it's not being done anywhere. It doesn't make any sense to me that when Jews are being attacked in the street around the world, and the potential of that happening here is so great, why we're not training the next generation of Jews to be able to defend themselves. It doesn't make sense to me. It's, totally,
it's got to be done.
Totally illogical that we're not doing that.
Right.
It should be part of our gym program in elementary school for Jewish schools, and it should carry straight through till the end of high school, and then there should be supplementary programming after high school for people who go on to higher education or go to work or whatever else. They should still have, you know, the training available in the community. I don't understand.
Because we don't see that being offered in the community like that in the school system, Jewish school system, we have to take matters into our own hands, and therefore we do have a facility, CDL, and we're going to be offering the courses to the community, and we want this to take place in many other Jewish communities as well.
Now, how many people do you think are going to take advantage of the JDL program? Do you think you're going to have a full house?
Absolutely.
I really hope so. I really hope you do.
After the Pittsburgh massacre, been inundated with emails.
I'm sure, because people are afraid. You know, you walk up to the synagogue today. I walked up to the synagogue on Saturday morning, and suddenly there's two security guards standing in front of the building. The doors are all locked. They have to let you in. They have to identify you and then let you in. We created fortresses for ourselves. We're spending billions of dollars on security around the world for Jewish for Jewish institutions and for Jewish synagogues and houses of worship and schools, and we're not training our people on how to defend themselves. It seems totally radically irrational to me that we'd spend this kind of money on security and not spend the money to train and have people being able to defend themselves if something happens.
Well, unfortunately, we don't have strong leadership in the Jewish community.
Well, we don't have leadership that believes that a Jewish mind needs a Jewish fist. We don't have leadership that believes that at all.
We have leadership that caters and bends over backwards to the progressive movement, unfortunately.
You know, Mayor, you keep calling them progressive, and I don't think they are progressive. I know they call themselves progressive.
Well, they're not, but that's the word that they use.
Yeah.
They identify like that.
Yeah, I really don't understand how they call themselves progressive, because I think they're regressive. I mean, they're the ones who are advocating limiting speech. They're the ones who are advocating violence against people who disagree with them or who have different opinions than they do. That's not progressive. That's regressive. If you ask
me. Anti-Semites.
They are.
And you know what? And it's Hanukkah, and we should remember that. I mean, there's a couple of things to remember about Hanukkah. Number one, it took place in Judea, what they call occupied territories. That's one thing. The second thing is that there was two types of war going on. One against the oppressive Greek regime, and two against the Jews who were called the Hellenists that collaborated with the oppressive Greek regime. Today's Hellenist Jews are the so-called progressive Jews. Well, the Hellenists back then too. They were also informing on Jews who were keeping the Torah, and that was punishable by death.
True.
So they would inform. They were informers, and that's the danger with them. So today's Hellenists, they act as informers too. But they hold services, Kaddish, they say, for Hamas supporters. What more do you need?
Mayor Weinstein, the chairman of the JDL in Canada, thank you so much for joining me. I really appreciate you being on the show.
Thank you.
That was Mayor Weinstein, the chairman of the Jewish Defense League Canada, and he was so kind to be here, and I appreciate it. I'm Howie Subberger. This is Political Hitman here on Israel News Talk Radio, and we are talking about Jewish identity. We are talking about Jew hatred. We are talking about anti-Jewism. We are not live, so please do not call in. Unfortunately, we won't be live this show, but we'll be live next show, God willing. If everything works out, next show we should be live. So what kind of lesson do we learn from all this? Where do we go? Where do we learn? What do we learn? Because everything has to be a learning experience, doesn't it? So in my opinion, what we learned from this episode of the show, what we learned from everything we've spoken about, is that as Jews, we have to be strong and steadfast in supporting Judaism. We have to be strong and steadfast in being proud Jews, in standing up for Judaism, in celebrating Judaism, in appreciating the difference that Judaism, that Jews are, the differences that Jews have compared to our neighbors. And we have to be a little more educated. We have to educate our children on why they are Jews, on why it's important to maintain our Jewish tradition, on why we are different and how we are different from the non-Jews. So when your kid comes home and says, Mom and Dad, Charlie has a Christmas tree and I don't. I want one. We have to explain why we don't have Christmas trees. We have to explain why Elf on a Shelf and Hanukkah bushes just aren't appropriate for Jews. Until we're able to do that, Judaism will be in peril in North America. Thank God we have Israel. Thank God we have someplace. I'm Howie Silberger. This is Political Hitman on Israel News Talk Radio. We'll see you next show.
Israel News Talk Radio's chat room. Just click the orange button at the top of the IsraelNewsTalkRadio.home page, log in as yourself or an anonymous guest, and join in on the fun. You'll meet other listeners from all over the world who listen to Israel News Talk Radio, and you can make new friends. Israel News Talk Radio's chat room. It's the closest you can get to being in the studio with us.
We love listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Where can you get the inside news on Israel? At Israel News Talk Radio, we're dedicated to sharing Israel's inside story with the world by providing our listeners with news on Israeli politics, current affairs, and Israeli Jewish culture. The Israel News Talk Radio homepage also provides you, the listener, with useful information at your fingertips, with scrolling news headlines, weather, currency exchange, Shabbat candlelighting times, and so much more. Our radio programming is always accessible and on demand. We operate absolutely free of charge for everyone, everywhere. If you love what we do, partner with us now by becoming an Israel News Talk Radio supporter. With your support, you'll be inscribed on our Israel News Talk Radio Wall of Fame. There's nothing like us in the world. Be part of something great. Israel News Talk Radio, straight talk from Israel.
If you love Israel News Talk Radio, then you'll love our Facebook page. We keep you up to date on what's happening in Israel, plus little surprise treasures that we don't share on the radio. Go now to follow us on Facebook. Just look for the Israel News Talk Radio Facebook page and don't forget to subscribe and follow us by clicking on the like button. We post great stuff there that you'll want to share. Israel News Talk Radio on Facebook and Israel News Radio on Twitter.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.